जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी।
And now chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth. Shukdev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, namely Gargamuni, who was highly elevated in austerity and penance, was then inspired by Vasudeva to go see Nanda Maharaj at his home. When Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni present at his home, Nanda was so pleased that he stood up to receive him with folded hands. Although seeing Gargamuni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Gargamuni was Adhoksaja, that is, he was not an ordinary person seen by material senses. When Gargamuni had been properly received as a guest and was very comfortably seated, Nanda Maharaj submitted with gentle and submissive words.
Dear sir, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. Yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me. What can I do for you? O my lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another, not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas or householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. My lord, you are the best of the Brahmins, especially because you are fully aware of the Jyoti Shastra, the astrological science. Therefore, you are naturally the spiritual master of every human being. This being so, since you have kindly come to my house, kindly execute the reformatory activities for my two sons.
My dear Nanda Maharaj, I am the priestly guide of the Yadu dynasty. This is known everywhere. Therefore, if I perform the purificatory process for your sons, Kamsa will consider them the sons of Devaki. Kamsa is both a great diplomat and a very sinful man. Therefore, having heard from Yogamaya, the daughter of Devaki, that the child who will kill him has already been born somewhere else, having heard that the 8th pregnancy of Devaki could not bring forth a female child, and having understood your friendship with Vasudeva, Kamsa, upon hearing that the purificatory process has been performed by me, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, may certainly consider all these points and suspect that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. Then he might take steps to kill Krishna. That would be a catastrophe.
My dear great sage, if you think that your performing this process of purification will make Kamsa suspicious, then secretly chant the Vedic hymns and perform the purifying process of second birth here, right here in the cowshed of my house, without the knowledge of anyone else, even my relatives, for this process of purification is essential.
Having thus been especially requested by Nanda Maharaj to do that which he already desired to do, Gargamuni performed the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram in a solitary place. Gargamuni said,
This child, the son of Rohini, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he will be known as Ram. And because he will manifest extraordinary bodily strength, he will also be known as Bala. Moreover, because he unites two families, Vasudeva's family and the family of Nanda Maharaj, he will be known as Sankarshan. Your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow, and now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramchandra, in the color of Shuka, like a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokul, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only you will surpass all difficulties. O Nanda Maharaj, as recorded in history, when there was an irregular, incapable government, Indra having been dethroned, and people were being harassed and disturbed by thieves, this child appeared in order to protect the people and enable them to flourish, and he curbed the rogues and thieves. Demons cannot harm the demigods, who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to Krishna is extremely fortunate. Because such persons are very much affectionate toward Krishna, they cannot be defeated by demons like the associates of Kamsa or by the internal enemies, the senses. In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayan. In his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame and influence, he is exactly like Narayan. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. After Gargamuni, having instructed Nanda Maharaj about Krishna, departed for his own home, Nanda Maharaj was very pleased and considered himself full of all good fortune. After a short time passed, both brothers, Ram and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Vraja with the strength of their hands and knees and thus enjoy their childhood play. When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Vraja by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow these people as if going to their mothers, but when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers, Yashoda and Rohini. Dressed with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies looked very beautiful, and when they went to their mothers, both Yashoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them, and allowed them to suck the milk flowing from their breasts. While sucking the breast, the babies smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing those beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. Within the house of Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies, Ram and Krishna. The babies would catch the ends of the calves' tails, and the calves would drag them here and there. When the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household activities and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. When Mother Yashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed.
At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection, for this was aroused within their minds. O King Pariksit, within a very short time, both Ram and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokul on their legs by their own strength without the need to crawl. Thereafter, Lord Krishna, along with Balaram, began to play with the other children of the cowherd men, thus awakening the transcendental bliss of the cowherd women. Observing the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood, to hear about Krishna's activities again and again, would approach Mother Yashoda and speak to her as follows.
Our dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves, and when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them, and when the monkeys have their bellies so full they won't take any more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders, and for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. When the milk and curd are kept high on a swing, hanging from the ceiling, and Krishna and Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortar for grinding spices. Being quite aware of the contents of a pot, they pick holes in it. When the elderly gopis go about their household affairs, Krishna and Balaram sometimes go into a dark room, brightening the place with the valuable jewels and ornaments on their bodies, and taking advantage of this light by stealing. Yes, stealing. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief, you are a thief." Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief, is sitting before you like a very good boy.
Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. One day, while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the gopas, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. "Mother," they submitted, "Krishna has eaten earth." Hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yashoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows.
"Dear Krishna, Why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. Now, how is this?
My dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it.
If you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide.
When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed, for Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. When Krishna opened his mouth wide by the order of Mother Yashoda, she saw within his mouth all moving and non-moving entities, outer space, and all directions, along with mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth, the blowing wind, fire, the moon, and the stars. She saw the planetary systems, water, light, air, sky, and creation by transformation of ahankara. She also saw the senses, the mind, sense perception, and the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw the time allotted for the living entities. She saw natural instinct and the reactions of karma. And she saw desires and different varieties of bodies, moving and non-moving. Seeing all these aspects of the cosmic manifestation, along with herself and Vrindavan Dham, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself, "Is this a dream, or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence, or is it some mystic power of my child? Oh, therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him, who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for He is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter." Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yoga Maya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Immediately forgetting Yoga Maya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnav literature. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child.
O learned Brahman, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki.
I will explain. To follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to Lord Brahma in this way. Drona and Dara said, "Please permit us to be born on this planet Earth, so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets, will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service." When Brahma said, "Yes, let it be so," the most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Vrajapura, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Dara appeared as Mother Yashoda. Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the Gopas and Gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Thus the Supreme Personality, Krishna, along with Balaram, lived in Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma. By exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood, he increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan.
Thus ends the 8th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, "Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form Within His Mouth."